Welcome to the Awakening Podcast Network. Get ready for an inspiring audio from this cutting-edge voice. You can find more podcasts at awakeningpodcasts.com.
A reset of the prophetic movement is upon us. The second wave of prophets is rising in this hour. We stand at the edge of a new era in the prophetic. We're gathering the international prophetic community at the Global Prophetic Center, a hub for prophetic training, prophetic labs, summits, networks, and lighthouses. It's time for prophets to go deeper. It's time for seers to soar. It's time for prophetic voices to rise up and decree what says the Spirit of God with accuracy that causes the world to pay attention. The Global Prophetic Center offers proven prophetic systems and structures to equip you to walk worthy of your calling and to prophesy with precision, boldness, diplomacy, and wisdom. Get hands-on training and mentoring in a safe environment that breeds true prophetic community and learning. Receive impartation and activation. Sharpen your gift and avoid prophetic pitfalls. Get commissioned. Get networked. Get sent out with the word of the Lord in your mouth and the confidence to release it. Begin your journey today by applying at globalpropheticcenter.com. Jennifer LeClaire here. You can see in the spirit. I want to invite you to take the Seer Activation Challenge, 30 days to clearer spiritual sight. I'm going to be on board doing Seer Activations with you, guiding you through biblical entryways and much, much more. You can opt to take the Seer Activation Challenge at tinyurl.com/seeractivation. tinyurl.com/seeractivation. You can also opt to get these three books, Seer Dimensions. You can get Power Seers. This just came out. Keys to Upgrading Your Prophetic Vision. And you can get Seer Activations with 101 Seer Activations and a whole lot more teaching. I want to challenge you to see what you've never seen before. God wants you to be able to see in the Spirit. Open your eyes to the Seer Dimensions in Jesus' name.
Hello, women on the rise. Thank you for being with us today. My name is Michelle Briquette. I am the director of Patricia King's Women in Ministry Network, and Patricia King is my co-host. Hello, Patricia.
Hi there. Well, Michelle, we're doing an interesting program today, and we kind of entitled it A Hard Thing to Take.
Yeah.
Because the subject is hard to take when it's given, and it's the subject of criticism. And of course, there's a difference between criticism and critique, in a way, because oftentimes criticism comes from an attitude sometimes of just, I'm ticked off, I want to show you what's going wrong, it's irritating me. And so it oftentimes will come across as a slam against your character or something like that. Goes to the core, whereas critique is like looking at the actual things that are being done, said, or whatever, and bringing them up to a higher level. So we cannot get through life without being criticized or critiqued.
Right.
They're
expected.
They're just there, expected. And if you try to shield yourself from it, you're not going to live a very full life. You're going to have to hide in a closet somewhere and close the door, and that's going to be it. But if you want to grow, it's really important. Yeah. So this is a really, really important subject. And I want to talk, first of all, about when criticism comes to you. As I mentioned earlier, oftentimes it comes without a great attitude. Someone sees a mistake, they want to let you know about it. They're not being careful about your feelings necessarily. And sometimes it's connected to a slam on your person. That is so hard.
That's hard.
And so the process that God wants us to go through is to listen, to extract the precious from the worthless, and hold fast to that which is good. And so we want to eliminate the attitude that is given. And I remember one time years ago, and I was just starting out in ministry, and this guy came up and let me have it with both barrels. And I was this, I was that, I was the other. And he just said really cruel things. And it jarred me at first.
Sure.
And
I wanted to
actually, I had a few things I would like to have said back. but I just was shocked. And the Lord stopped me from defending myself, stopped me from retaliating. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, I want you to listen and then sift it. I want you to sift it and analyze it. Okay. So that's what I did afterwards. I got out of that guy's presence as fast as I could, politely. And then I unpacked it with the Lord. And it took me a while. It took me a while, a few days, to unpack it all because it actually wounded me the way that it was said. Mm-hmm. But the Lord said, I want you to look for the gold in it because there's some things there that'll help you. And even your reaction to that will show you something about yourself. Mm-hmm. It'll reveal insecurities. It will reveal pride.
Yeah.
It will reveal things that might be unteachable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so let it go to work for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so as painful as it is, we need to let those things work for us.
Yes. And it's a really good rule of thumb to not react, but to respond.
Right.
And to not be quick to speak in that, but to really listen thoroughly, as difficult as that may be. And, you know, you're not always necessarily liking the things that you're hearing. And especially if it is maybe coming from what doesn't feel like a place of love.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that it's always going to be a place of love because that's where you're located.
Sure.
Right? So that's your
sure.
refuge in that.
Right.
And someone else may be giving you something that isn't what's yours. But in the process of taking that back to Holy Spirit and allowing, as you did, to sift through that and allowing Holy Spirit to sift through, even if it was just all, you know, garbage,
right.
you know, just out of their own stuff,
right.
you know, and projecting onto
right.
you things that aren't you, it's really good to hear Holy Spirit say that to you.
Right.
Because it brings even a further definition
mm-hmm.
of who you are.
Sure.
It's a further relationship even with Holy Spirit and the talking and the
mm-hmm.
communing back and forth, and beautiful to hear what he is saying
sure.
to you.
And we're so used to having criticism when it's given to us be a sign of rejection,
right.
or we assume it's rejection.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And so when someone is speaking mm-hmm. it, even if they're giving it in an attitude mm-hmm. of rejection, we can put it through a filter of God's love before
exactly.
we receive it, right?
Exactly.
So we can have a translation of the
because
language
that's where
go
you're located.
Through there, right?
That's right.
And
yeah.
so by the time we receive it, but it does take time. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, just recently I've had some opportunities to evaluate. And it's interesting that at first, when you first hear it, I'm just surprised at myself, the reaction of defensiveness that went up first, rather than just being just in a position to, you know, I think I'll assess this and think about it. But over the days after it happened, I got more and more juice out of it and realized, yes, most of what they were saying was valid in many ways, but it was just connected to rejection. It was connected to shame. Mm-hmm. It was delivered in a wrong way. So I was getting it all mixed up. I had to just sift through it. But, I just believe that if you are going to grow, if we are going to grow in the Lord, that we need to be open to receive good critique.
I agree.
Because we'll never be the same. I remember years ago, a dancer, prophetic dancer. She was beautiful, loved the Lord, very prophetic. But I could see that she didn't have skill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it came across as clumsy, but in her spirit, she
yeah.
was free. It was beautiful,
yeah.
you know, like she was definitely connecting to the heart of God, but she didn't have the skill to be able to really paint that picture well, but she felt led. She was even designing her own costumes that she danced in and everything. She was very, very talented.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a talk with her one day because she asked, she said, how do you feel about this prophetic dance? I said, I think you're amazing. I think that you're prophetic. I can see where there's so much potential, but I would highly recommend getting some professional dance lessons because your movements could use some skill.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she got so hurt by that, right? She got so hurt. And she said, well, I'm prophetic and I'm not going to get professional dancing, instruction because I don't want that. I want the Holy Spirit to lead me. So then I said, well, I totally understand wanting to be led by the Holy Spirit, but look at David. He had skilled musicians, you know, he had skilled workers, mm-hmm. as well as the anointing. Mm-hmm. And I said, if you were to get skill in your dancing and the prophetic, and the love for the Holy Spirit and following him, can you imagine how big you would be? And I said, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to come across in any way of demeaning you. I'm trying to empower you.
Right.
And she just couldn't take it. She was very sensitive. Creative people are very sensitive. And if you're a creative person who's sensitive, I think you need to get over that a little bit. Keep your sensitivity in your creativity. But as far as your growth, you need to, you know, be strong. And we all have to grow in that. Mm-hmm. I remember the mentor that I had when I went into ministry. She just said to me when I was crying because she critiqued me on something. And she says, What's going on? And I told her, and she said, come on, girl, you need some gator skin. You know, you're never going to make it in ministry if you don't, you know, keep your heart soft. But, you know, you have to process a little bit better than this. Yeah. And it was a firm talk, but I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
And it worked something in me, and I'll never forget it. Keep my heart soft, but I have to be able to process some of this properly and not be so sensitive, not break down every time that someone tries to make me a better person. Mm-hmm. So I think that that might minister to some of you. Anyways, about the dancer, I saw her a couple years later, and there she was. It was beautiful. She had grown in her anointing as well as her creativity and her skill.
Wonderful.
And she came up to me afterwards. She said, I just want to thank you. It was so hard to take that day, but I couldn't get it out of my mind. The Holy Spirit wouldn't let it go. And so I signed up for dance lessons and took dance instruction and got a private mentor in dance.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? It shows. Mm-hmm. I said, the authority you carry now and your groomed movements and everything are so beautiful. I said, aren't you glad that the Lord led you to do that? She said, absolutely. And then she was teaching others, and she was big in her field.
Mm-hmm.
And
wonderful.
So, yeah, it's very, very exciting. But we have a general in our network, Women in Ministry Network, which is a group of women who are passionately wanting to serve Jesus Christ in their field. And if you have a passion to serve him, we want to invite you to join the network in any area that you want to serve him. Some of our members serve in the home and family, some in the church, some in arts and entertainment, media, education, business, government. I mean, there's so many areas that our women serve in. So go on patriciaking.com to the WIMN tab, Women. That's Women in Ministry Network. And you can find out more and apply. It's just an amazing network that will empower you if you're desiring to serve the Lord. And we have teaching, equipping. We can even give ordination, commissioning into your ministry. It's just a beautiful, beautiful network. But one of our generals on our team is Dr. Clarice Fluitt. And she is like almost 80 years old at the time of this taping and just going for it. I was just with her the other day, Michelle, and she is on fire.
She's amazing.
I mean, she is full of energy. Yeah. She's on fire.
Yeah.
She's not pulling back for anything.
Right.
In fact, she's busier than she's ever been. She is amazing.
Yeah,
but she has some nuggets of wisdom for you. So let's watch this clip now.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Clarice Fluitt, and it is certainly a privilege to have the opportunity to share some thoughts with you on the topic of criticism, being critical, how you respond to constructive criticism, things of that nature. And I thought, you know, well, I could give you some definitions of what Webster says, but I know you're smart. You've already got that. You know what criticism is. You know what constructive criticism, how painful that can be sometimes. You know, when somebody says, we need to talk, you always know, oh my goodness, the other shoe is about to drop. In over 40 years of ministry, I've certainly had opportunities to have some constructive criticism in my life. And don't waste the sorrow. The thing that I have learned about constructive criticism is rather than reacting to it and being offended, what you do is listen carefully and say, thank you for your input. Give me an opportunity to think about it. And the way that I've always tried to handle that is when somebody brings correction or rejection, or however you want to look at it, and correct you about something and criticize you about something, rather than being defensive, if you can say, thank you very much, and I will certainly go to the Lord and pray about it, and do that, and say, Lord, that's their perception of the way that I did a thing or the way I said things of that nature. And if indeed there are things in there that you need to repent of and talk to, then have the courage to be able to do that. But if you've been accused unjustly, possibly you can go back to the individual and say, you know, when you said this, this, and this, I do acknowledge that I did do this, this, but I didn't do that. So the clarity of conversation is very, very significant and important. I want to tell you, you know, one of the times that I had criticism in my life, I was just, it was an incredible time that was going on. I was in Malaysia, and I was going to have the opportunity to minister with the wonderful Daisy Osborne. I'd read all of her books, and she was just such a hero in my heart. And I couldn't wait to meet her. We were in this beautiful hotel. It was a big, big meeting. They had thousands of people coming in. Her name in Malaysia was, people just came from everywhere to hear what the Osbournes had to say. And she walked in. She was about 5'2", and she had blue, blue eyes, and she had red, red hair. And she was dressed in St. John's, and she was just wonderful. And I was like little Susie Homemaker over in the corner, and I had my hair in a Pentecostal bun and very, very light makeup that I didn't want to be a temptation to anybody. Believe me, I was not. And I just, when they introduced me to her, I was just like a stumbling little, oh my goodness, she's just so wonderful, and I'm just so nothing. And I went before and I said, oh, Miss Daisy, I've read all your books, and I'm just so honored to have the opportunity to meet you, blah, 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 you to go to bed. And I said, if you have any input for me this evening, please, please, I just open myself to speak to you. And she looked at me and she said, this is the way it is. You better learn how to lead, follow, or just get out of the way. And for goodness sake, girl, get another hairdo. I thought my life, I had a millisecond to say, I'm so wounded, I'm so cut, blah, 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 me, 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 me. But I took a deep breath and I said, Lord, I ask for it. Now, what am I going to do? And there was a beauty shop in that wonderful hotel. And I had all this hair, and I went and had it cut off, and I got me a sharp little hairdo. I learned how to put some makeup on my face, and I went to the meeting that night with understanding that that was constructive criticism. It was painful. It was painful, but I didn't waste it. And of course, what I didn't know about Miss Daisy at that time is she was in stage 4 cancer, and the fact that she was still pressing and pushing and moving, and she got to the meeting that night, she came out. Oh, I was so excited to see and to hear what she was going to share with these throngs of people. And she got up and she says, tonight everybody's going to be prayed for. And I thought, oh, how is she going to do that? And she says, because tonight we have Dr. Clarice Fluitt that's going to be with us, and she is going to pray for each and every one of you. And I thought, oh my goodness. I mean, we turned around, didn't know what to say. And in that moment, I learned about impartation, that the righteous are really as bold as a lion. And what I thought was going to be so negative, because I believed that I had the heart to take that criticism and not waste it and do something positive. Another situation that I wanted to share about criticism. I was in a situation where I was invited to a lovely church and beautiful, wonderful people. And I came to the church, and the outside of the church was just in disarray. It was just a mess. It was not cleaned up. The door was half hanging on. This was going on. I went into the restroom. The restroom was dirty and filthy, and there was a wet mop hanging out. And I'm thinking, what in the world, treat the house of God like this? They all talking, praise Jesus, and all this going on. And I'm dressed to the nines. I had this beautiful lace suit on, and it had a liner underneath it and everything. And I was ready to get up and, you know, really encourage and exhort and say, you know, there are more excellent ways, and that excellence, excellence, excellence. And while the music was incredible, these people were incredible musicians, and they just loved the Lord, and they would do. And I was so caught up on the externals instead of what was going on in the realm of the spirit. I was critical. And I never said anything to anybody, but I said it to myself. This is dirty. That's dirty. This is bad. This is bad. And so while I'm lifting my hands to the Lord, under my beautiful lace skirt, the liner broke and fell off, and I am left completely exposed. I mean, it's down on the floor. There's nothing I can do about it. I can't catch it. I can't pick it up. And they said, and now Dr. Fluitt will minister to us. There's no way I can get there. The slip is around my feet, and I'm standing there. And the only thing, I'm in my pantyhose and standing there. And the Lord said, you have any other opinions? And I thought, oh my God, touch not God's anointed, do his prophets no harm. And I said, with every head bowed and every eye closed, and I kicked that slip off, and I made it to the bathroom, and I said, continue to sing. Oh, my goodness, I was humiliated. I was frustrated. But you know what? I learned something. I did make it in there, and I get my slip back up, and I did go preach and teach and pray and prophesy. And from that day to this, I don't make judgments like that. That is not a positive thing. Avoiding those circumstances that are going to put you in a situation, because I found out to the measure you judge, the measure you release, it's measured back to you. Full measure, pressed down and shaken together. God's got an incredible sense of humor. And so I want to encourage you, when you do get some wonderful opportunities to be corrected, correction and rejection are not necessarily the same thing. Pay attention to the things that are being said. And in your own life, try to avoid being critical of everything around you. When you stir things up, you create a fault line. And every time there's a fault line, there's a place for an earthquake to take place. I bless you in the name of Jesus. So proud of what all of you are doing. And thank you for the opportunity to share with you. God bless.
Dr. Clarice, thank you so much for sharing those beautiful nuggets of wisdom with us on this topic of it's hard to take criticism. And in that, you know, in the last example, Patricia, that Dr. Clarice was giving, I also want to come from the place of that when you're offering a critique or a criticism, that, you know, if it seems like you're doing that a lot, you may want to step back.
That's so good.
And
Michelle,
ask the Lord, where am I putting my eyes?
Right.
And, you know, it's not that everyone needs to have your opinion
right.
about what they're doing or who they are, those kinds of things. But it really needs to come from a place of, it's good if it's relationship. Just like what you were talking about earlier, that someone had asked you, what do you think about this? When someone asks you, you know, be mm-hmm. honest with that. But it always needs to be in love and unto the greater.
Sure.
It's to lift up
it's
and not
so
to
good.
Press
yeah.
down.
So good.
And if people, you know, start running when they see you coming, you may need to, you know, kind of get in your prayer closet a
yeah.
little bit and get hold of, do you have a,
right.
a critical spirit working yeah. through you?
And there's nothing mentioned in scripture about the gift of criticism.
No, there's
right?
not.
So there's no ministry in the area. But I do want to say that if you're a leader and you are growing up your people, mm-hmm. and of course, you know, as a leader, like you're like a mama, mm-hmm. okay? So you want to see your people flourish. You want to see them grow just like you do your own children. So of course you're going to give the input that they need to become better. Otherwise they'll just stall out.
Sure.
I remember when I learned how to ski.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have any mentors or anything. I just put on the skis and went up on the little bunny hill chairlift, and I got to the top of the hill and pointed my skis down and away I went. Well, somehow I learned to try to, you know, turn in a way that it would slow me down a little bit. I just kind of figured it out, but I didn't do it right. So the problem is I couldn't get off the bunny slope.
Mm.
I couldn't ski mm-hmm. on the intermediate slopes. I couldn't ski
sure.
on the difficult slopes because I had no skill.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't a good skier.
I was
just someone that pointed the skis downhill and went for it.
Mm.
And it was fun at first, but then it lost its challenge. And I had no beautiful style. You know, I just lacked what I could have had if I had taken lessons. So finally, someone lovingly said, Patricia, you really need to take some lessons. Get off the bunny slope.
Yeah.
And so I tried that. But by that time, I was so ingrained in bad habits that it was hard to make the change. It was so
mm-hmm.
hard to make that change. So the sooner you are able to give input, like if you're a leader, give mm-hmm. input to your people and help them get what they need.
Yes.
Even if it means, you know, getting them some counsel in that particular area or get them some skill, make available to them what they need. Give them some input, especially
mm-hmm.
as a leader. You can see certain things that maybe others can't because you're
right.
gifted
right.
for the realm that you're overseeing to see those things. So just lovingly entreat. And I found like pastoring people is really challenging. Because most people find criticism hard to take.
Yes.
And so they have to be taught. This does not mean rejection, as Clarice mm-hmm. mentioned. Mm-hmm. This is because I love you,
right.
because I believe in you.
Right.
I am willing to take this risk because I believe in you.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll make them a stronger person and make your realm of ministry stronger as well.
Yes. And again, just because something is delivered to you badly is not an excuse to not be able to receive something from mm-hmm. it. And to not process that. And it's not an excuse to just reject it and then reject the person. It still is valuable in some way. It's going to be valuable.
And sometimes we just have to let go of things. Like, I've known people who have held on to things for years that someone tried to to bring some light into their situation maybe, you know, 5-10 years ago.
Yeah.
And they're still talking about it,
yeah.
you know. And so that's because it's hard to take. But it's like you have to take that to the cross. Let it go.
Yeah.
And don't let the devil lie to you and say, that means you can't move forward. That means that you are not up to par. That means that you're a bad person. It's just you have to hear it through redemptive ears saying, no, this is my call upward and I'm going to go for it. And I'm going to let this work for me,
yes.
not against me.
Instead of internalizing,
right.
you bring it into a place of
right.
bringing it to him.
Right.
My mother was on the ministry field all of her life, basically. And she would bring praise to the Lord after 3 days. She was usually gone for 3 days so she could come back home and be with her family. And, she was realizing what to do with praise, and she would bring that to the Lord after those 3 days and go through all the little notes people had given her and those kinds of things. And one time she had gotten a really scathing criticism, and she said, well, Lord, I know what to do with praise, but what do I do with the criticism? And he said, you do the same thing.
Right.
You release it unto me.
Right.
You know. So, again, God is so good.
God is so good.
So good. We also have Preethi Kurian
yes,
with us.
Another and, good friend of ours.
That's right. And Preethi is also on the global team for Women in Ministry Network and part of the apostolic oversight and covering. And she and her husband are part of the senior pastor team at Capstone in London, UK. And I love Preethi's practical wisdom and her prophetic insight. And I love what she says to us about criticism.
Hi, this is Preethi here, and I'm dealing with the subject of how to deal with criticism. If you're doing something for the Lord or for anything of significance, often you come under the spotlight and you may have people having opinions about what you're doing. Really, we need to have the wisdom on how to handle it. So one of the first things that I realize is Jesus himself was criticized. People would have opinions, whether he was from God, whether he was from the devil, or just a pretender. So there was all these kind of opinions about Jesus himself, but how he dealt with it in each situation was different. If someone is criticizing us, we need to figure out the motive of their heart. If we're facing criticism, we need to understand why that is being said. Sometimes it is the truth. Sometimes it is misunderstanding. And sometimes it is just malicious. They're just speaking complete fabrication. So we need to often figure out what is the source of what is being said. Now, if it is the truth, allow God to discipline you. Iron sharpens iron. So allow the people in your life to discipline you. Secondly, if it is a misunderstanding or there's partial truth to it, then we need to have wisdom. You know, we need to not reciprocate with defensiveness or bringing our wall up or anything like that. What we need to do is we need to calmly understand what is being said and receive it. You know, there might be a half-truth. That half-truth can be a blessing. The third is if it is malicious. If it's malicious, we need to surrender it to the Lord. We need to remember what the Lord has told us in Romans 12:21. We don't repay evil with evil, but we repay evil with good. So we need to still continue to love the people who are speaking this about us. And we need to run our race. We need to fight the good fight of faith. And, you know, sometimes it's like water off the duck's back, my friend. We have to kind of just continue what we are called to do. But the one thing I would say is there's no smoke without a fire sometimes. And I have learned that whatever it is, I'd like to check to see, even if I'm maybe a few grains wrong, I'd like that correction in my life. So criticism need not be a bad thing. And we're not afraid of it. It won't destroy us. You know, criticism is sometimes a spotlight to a wound that we may have. And the Lord, Romans 8:28, he will turn it out for our good. So bless you. bless you in your season, and bless you in your journey.
Preeti, thank you so much. Those were excellent keys in dealing with criticism. Thank you. You know, going through this topic that is hard to take, hopefully by the time we get through this program, it'll be a little bit easier next time. I do have a decree for you today as we're wrapping some things up. It says, you are quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. You are kind and affectionate toward one another, graciously forgiving in the depths of God's love. You patiently embrace others in every place of maturity, and your goal is to empower others. You are hidden in love, overshadowed by His glory, presence, sheltered from the strife of tongues.
Oh, and, so good, yeah. So good. Just as we wrap up right now, I want to pray for some of you because I saw some real daggers in some of your backs where, you know, it was just cruel, cruel criticism that demeans your character even. And your personage in the Lord put you down as a person. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I remove those daggers and the trauma that came as a result. And Lord, we come to the cross right now, and we embrace the cross and the freedom that you brought to us on that cross. And Lord, I just pray right now for everyone affected in a debilitating way because of criticism, that you would heal them, that you would free them, that you would soothe them, and that you would empower them in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for joining us on Women on the Rise. Again, we want to point you to our website, patriciaking.com, to find out more about Women in Ministry Network. Because if you desire to be a passionate woman of influence in the kingdom of God, we would like to invite you to be part of our family, part of the network, so that you can be among people of like passion and like heart. But also, I want to give you an invitation. If you've been enjoying these programs, Women on the Rise, could I invite you to go online and pray about maybe donating towards the furtherance of the programs. It just, media is a wonderful tool that God has given us. And we are producing a lot of media, not only this program, but others, to get the word out around the world. It's a global outreach. And if you would like to help us in that outreach, we would so appreciate it. And you might even want to join our partnership team, which is the GO team, because we're going into the nations through crusades, through media, through looking after those who are being trafficked, and so on and so forth. And we can't do it alone. It's a whole company of people that we do it together with. So I'd love to invite you to be part of my GO team partnership at Patricia King Ministries. I'd love to invite you to be part of our Women in Ministry Network, and let's become family in God. And in these last days, as we are getting prepared for the coming of Jesus Christ, that we can move forward together. So thank you so much for joining us on today's program, and live a life that is full of His glory. We'll see you next time.
You have gifts. God expects you to use them. If you need training to school your gift, log on to schoolofthespirit.tv. You'll find training in spiritual warfare, prophetic ministry, prayer, seer's ministry, writing, and so much more. Go to schoolofthespirit.tv today. You want to go deeper? Get equipped to overcome and walk in God's purpose for your life at Awakening House of Prayer's online campus. You'll experience an online family, preaching, teaching, and prophetic impartation for victorious living. We have over 1,000 members online, hungry for what God is saying and doing in the earth. Visit ahop.online today and join our family.
This has been a production of the Awakening Podcast Network. Jennifer LeClaire is the founder and owner of APN. Our heart is to inspire people and exalt Jesus with every broadcast. We're grateful for our advertisers and supporters that make these podcasts possible.